DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything this young man brings to the table as the second-year quarterback.
And you really haven't seen him sit there and pat the ball. If he doesn't make a fast decision and get the ball out, he's either scrambling or getting rid of it.
Mm. Oh, Aaron pass, and it's picked. Isaac Polamau was right there for Las Vegas, and the Raiders with a takeaway.
A spirit right on cue. Max Crosby, inside pressure. May throws it up. Interception for the Raiders.
Spiro and Arch right on top of it, as usual yesterday.
Yep.
Patriots lose week one, 20-13 to the Raiders. Season opener, home opener at Gillette Stadium. We're talking about it all day long here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to your phones, 617-779-7937. We'll also go around the NFL week one with what happened coming up at 11:30. So stay tuned for that. But it's Patriots Monday here on WEEI. We talked to Hunter Henry in the first hour. You heard from Mike Vrabel this morning on Greg Hill. You'll get Drake May later on in the day on WEEI Afternoons. We're joined right now by Christian Ellis. He's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair, and by Shaw's and Star Market. Go shopping, get rewarded. And by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Christian Ellis, thanks for joining us here on Patriots Monday.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yesterday, it seemed like things were going pretty well. At halftime, you guys were leading. You were driving to start the second half. There was a turnover. Then the Raiders get in the end zone. What changed in the second half from your perspective?
I think, you know, at the end of the day, like, everyone has to do their job, me included. Like, I didn't start the game off well, and I feel like I had a few mental errors that I feel like I can fix. You know, and they did a really good job. They came out and they played well. We just have to keep doing what we're doing, in the first half especially, and then, you know, we would be good.
Was it a lot of changes that you noticed from the Raiders offense in the second half, or was it just you guys not being able to get stops?
Yeah, no, they came out and they made some plays. You know, obviously they made adjustments at the half. We made adjustments at the half. And it's just, you know, for me personally, it's just about, you know, getting the job done.
Harold Landry, your teammate, had a big debut with the Pats, 2.5 sacks. What'd you think of his first performance? A lot of us got to really watch him for the first time here in a Patriots uniform yesterday. What'd you think of his Pats debut?
Yeah, no, I think he's an amazing player, and I think he showed that yesterday. If you look at the film, he's all around the ball, and he has a good knack for it. And then, you know, that's why he's here. That's why he plays at such a high level. Obviously, I'm proud of him, and he's going to keep doing good things for us this year.
What was it like in the locker room after the game?
You know, obviously, it still stings right now. It's never a good feeling. Because there's always a woulda, coulda, shoulda, what if I would have done this, or what if we would have done this, or, you know, there's always that. And then there's always the bitter reality that now we lost our first game, and, you know, now we got to move forward. You know, luckily, we have this upcoming week, and we're going to start focusing in after getting these corrections, and we'll move on. And we'll just need leadership. We need guys to lead.
Are you somebody that's able to move on quickly after a loss, or does it sort of linger with you for a bit?
Yeah, no, if anything, it just drives the fuel to my fire. You know, I think there's definitely things I could have done in the game better. So I'm going to be extremely hard on myself and use it as a fuel. What can I do? What can I change? How can I get better as a man and as a player? So it fuels me.
You mentioned leadership. There's been a lot of turnover from last year's leadership to this year's. I mean, the captains are pretty much all different. How do you feel like it is this year? Like, what kind of hands is the team in with the new faces that are captains and leaders?
Yeah, no, our leaders are great. That's why I put an emphasis on it. Like, especially like for the defensive side, we got Spills. And then we had an honorary captain for the game, KC. Both guys are like, they're very vocal. They're very direct. They know what they want to see from all of us as their teammates. And then, you know, obviously it comes down from the head man himself. He sets a standard and we follow it. So when we don't do that in a game or in a moment, then we got to get set straight and then we move on. So I know we'll be on the right track, and I know that we have the guys in our building to do it.
What is it about Geno Smith that maybe we on the outside looking in weren't ready for? He had 327 against you guys last year in an overtime win. It was 362 mm-hmm. yesterday. Why have you struggled with Geno in those two games?
You know, I don't like last year is last year. This year, I think, you know, from an LB perspective, I can help get in windows better. I can help rush the passer better. You know, Geno's a really good quarterback. He's a really good pocket passer. So if you aren't getting in his face, we just let him have easy reads and don't disguise, you know, he's going to do well. And I think he did do that. So me personally, I got to make it harder for him. Got to play lights out, keep playing with effort, and then, you know, win at the end of the day, just win.
You know, when you get home yesterday, do you watch more football or do you got to get away from it?
I'm instantly in film. That's just who I am. I watched the game countless times. I woke up in the middle of the night, just rewatched it. Woke up a few times, rewatched it.
Oh, jeez.
It's hard for me to sleep after a loss. Yeah. No.
Oh, I didn't know if you would watch like Ravens Bills, for example, like pop that game on, which had a crazy finish. But you're talking about you'll go home and watch the game you just played. Oh,
no,
you'll
both. I'll watch my game. Gotcha. Yeah. No, I'll watch my game first and foremost. I got home and I was able to watch actually my brother's game, Broncos. Right. So I was excited to be able to watch him play. And then I did catch the end of the Ravens game, which was crazy.
Crazy, yeah.
So, but, yeah.
So how, if you had to ballpark it, how many times have you already watched and rewatched the game yesterday?
Eight or nine times.
Eight or nine
Holy
times?
Smokes.
How much sleep did you get? I know you said
just
it was hard
defense?
To sleep.
You're doing defense only, or are you also watching your offense?
Yeah. Hey, I was watching defense.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, it speeds it up
makes
a little
sense.
Bit. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So how much sleep would you say you got?
I didn't get much. I probably got like 3, maybe 4 hours. I kept waking up. It was eating at me. So I'm pretty fueled. I'm pretty pissed off. So we're good.
All right.
That's like me, Keith. I was tossing and turning after my fantasy loss last night. That makes sense.
You pop in a lot of the highlights.
We're very much the same in that regard. Well, Christian Ellis, good luck this week against the Miami Dolphins. I will talk to you next Patriots Monday.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Bye.
Thank you.
Christian Ellis, Patriots linebacker here every Patriots Monday on Jones and Keith. 3 or 4 hours. Rest and recover. You got rest and recover there. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Eight or nine times. I did not go back and rewatch that one on the DVR this morning.
No.
I didn't feel compelled to rewatch it.
Speaking of, even during the game, I feel like not great with like replays. Like, Drake May throws the pick and they're like, commercial.
This is what happens
when
you
see
get
it again?
When you get the D squad.
Yeah,
this
no,
is what
I know.
When you get Spiro,
a lot
Arch,
of Spiro and Arch,
Spiro Arch and Aditi.
And Aditi.
I like to point out how often he says Arch. I just say it to Kat now when I'm watching on the couch. Every time he says Arch, I just go Arch.
Arch.
She's like, "What are you talking?"
Yeah.
She's like, not paying attention. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, "Oh, he says Arch every other word, but Aditi's right by. He says Aditi an awful lot too."
All right, here's what we have to do. If this goes sideways, and I'm not saying it will, it's only one loss.
Yeah, it might.
Do we go Patriots drinking game? And we every time they say Arch,
no, you cannot
down the hatch.
No,
dead.
You can't.
Well, Arch had to remind himself who Jalen Hawkins was like 3 times. He's like, that's it was like a 5 second pause. That's
like
Jalen Hawkins
throwing down the roster 21, 21, 21.
Yeah, can't find it. Can't
Jalen
find
Hawkins!
It. There he is out there.
Okay. Number 21.
That
getting
was
it
rough.
Done.
That was rough indeed. If you missed any of Christian Ellis, use the rewind feature like he does, rewatching the games 8 or 9 times. It's on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. Free, easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You can also
5 or 6, 7 or 8. Good call.
On the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps. Yeah, I think that's not something a lot of fans are wanting to do. How you feeling about Vrabel one game in, Keith? Because to me, my big takeaway,
not great.
They don't look much different than last year's team. Last year, week one, I get it.
You got
I get
a lot of pushback for that.
I did. Yeah. I mean, it's just my timeline is just, guys, it's 1 week. Yeah. How are you going to overreact to 1 week? I'm like, well, again, we had zero games prior. I feel like we actually have something to react to.
That was actually last year. You did have him, what, 11-0 after
week one? That's true.
Yeah,
so
he
like,
was high. You were riding high. You gotta, hey, listen, it's one game. We have one game to look at.
A lot can change. And I even said, I don't think he's Mayo.
You know what my trolley tweet was? But, your tweet was like, actually wasn't even trolley. Your tweet was like how you really felt.
They look like, that's what they look like. Oh, is it looking at the QB class
next
year?
Yeah, I did the best available quarterbacks for next year. People lost their minds, and I'm like,
I do kind of like Lenora Sellers.
I don't like any of those guys.
No,
I
like Sellers.
I'm giving Drake May another year. I'm not trying to draft Arch Manning. Like, no thanks. Oh, but I just thought it'd be funny. Like Arch Manning.
Oh, he looks good against San Jose State.
San Jose State, yeah. They took those guys down. But I just thought it was funny to point that out there. People are still responding to it now.
I'm just telling you, if this was a Mayo game last year, we go, oh, they're undisciplined. Oh, yeah, they're poorly coached. Oh, they turn it over again. Oh, they weren't ready to go. Oh, they didn't adjust in the second half. After the game, the coach came out and kind of threw the players and McDaniels under the bus. He had an interesting answer this morning about, the play calling and this and that. So I just feel like we'd be jumping down Mayo's throat about this. I just think Vrabel should get the same treatment.
Yeah, but
and Mayo technically started better.
Well, he definitely started better. Got a big W over Joe Burrow, for God's sakes. Didn't get torched by Geno Smith. So it is a big difference. But this is where I guess I still remain hopeful, and maybe it's naive to be hopeful, but some of the stuff that even Mike Vrabel is talking about Drake May, like wanting to win, knowing how to win, and things like that, maybe that's what Vrabel can do. Like, Vrabel wasn't and never has been an offensive coordinator, but somebody like Ryan Tannehill, who usually is sort of like a punchline when it comes to quarterbacks, had really good seasons under Vrabel. And maybe just like the head coach teaching him how to be a football player, be aware of everything, clock management, like all these different things. Maybe that helped him get the best years out of his career. Maybe he can do the same thing with Drake May. He's not going to want to call him plays for him, but maybe just teaches him how to be like a real NFL player. And that's the hope that we have that he can turn into, you know, at some point, maybe a top 10 quarterback in the league someday.
Yeah. Right now, it's just a hope. I mean, you're going to hope he gets there, but it got off to a bad start yesterday. Bob is in Londonderry. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
I have a different perspective a little bit, but granted, it's only the first game. Everybody's optimistic. I hang with a lot of people, and it's been going on now. They're starting to call them the New England excuses because that's all we do after – is excuse after excuse after excuse, and even no matter how you look at it, what a boring, boring team to watch, not just because they're losing. There's absolutely no excitement. Watch some of the other teams in the league, and I'm getting tired of my 12-year-old nephew who keeps saying, Uncle Bob, if this quarterback is so good, how come he never wins? This has been going on forever.
Strong take
by the
12-year-old nephew.
The nephew.
Yeah.
But no, that was even my takeaway. It was 10-7. So you're like, all right, they're winning at halftime. But you're like, that was rough. Yeah. And then at halftime, they start showing you all these highlights of all these other games. You're like, that's exciting. Oh, look at that. That's exciting.
You felt it yesterday. When you flipped to red zone, you're like, oh, stuff's happening in these other games.
Did you get caught in a commercial? They had 1 minute of commercials.
I did not see any commercials yesterday.
Yeah. There was a good graphic with Scott Hansen. It said lasted 1 minute. Like small, it was like commercials, and then it was like lasted 1 minute.
You'd flip to red. You really felt it when you were flipping around, whether you were going to another game, whether you're flipping into red zone. You're
scored points yesterday.
Stuff is happening. Then you watch the Sunday night game like last night. You're like, oh, right. And I got to sit through what was a dreadful product yesterday. They didn't just lose. May wasn't just bad. Vrabel didn't have a terrible debut. It wasn't just those things. They also were boring on top of it. Which is, you know, if you're winning and boring, we'll tolerate. But when you lose and you're boring, that's a rough combo. 617-779-7937. We'll get to Steph Diggs and his Patriots debut coming up on the way next, right after Trending with Billy Lanny. We go around the NFL week one with what happened next.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Couldn't sit on the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with
What Happened?
On Jones and Keefe.
Hold Doctor, week one in the NFL. Not in the books just yet, Jones. We still have another game tonight, a NFC North matchup, the Bears and the Vikings. But let's take a look at the games this Sunday or yesterday, including the Patriots' week two opponent, the Miami Dolphins. They were on the road taking on the Indianapolis Colts. What happened? Well, I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you what happened, Jones. It was all Colts.
Jones looking for the touchdown. He's got it. Second rushing touchdown today for Daniel Jones. And the Colts are pouring it on.
You know what they're calling him? Indiana Jones.
Nice.
Indiana Jones.
No more Danny Dimes.
No.
Indiana Jones.
He had a touchdown pass. He had two touchdown runs. The Colts blow out the Dolphins 33-8. The worst performance of the weekend was the Miami Dolphins.
Well, somewhat good news for the Patriots, maybe.
I guess.
Kind of, sort of, in week two. Could go bad real quick if you lose to them.
It could.
But that's your next opponent. All right.
How many of you guys had Mike McDaniel as first coach fired?
I think it was me and Bill.
Okay.
I believe that was it.
Looking pretty good.
That was the hot seat bowl right there. Him and Steichen.
Yeah, oh, Steichen.
Big win for Spike Man.
Smelling like roses. What about the New York football Jets taking on the Steelers?
What happened?
Well, this one came down to this was a thrilling game.
It would be a new career long for Boswell. For the lead, sweeps the leg, 60-yarder. He's got it. Pittsburgh goes in front with 1:03 on the clock.
A 1:03 left in the game, and Chris Boswell with a 60-yard field goal put the Steelers up by two. They would hold on to a 34-32 win over the Jets. Aaron Rodgers against his former team, four touchdown passes. Felt pretty good post-game, too, sticking it in the Jets' face.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's like, feels good to beat the Jets, anybody associated with the Jets.
He's like, I know a lot of people here didn't think I could play anymore. But what's amazing about that is we were just so focused on the Patriots and their game against the Raiders. It wasn't until like halfway through the first quarter of that game, they showed a highlight. I'm like, oh, Rodgers playing against the Jets today.
Yeah.
I think I completely missed it.
And then Fields is playing against the Steelers. Yeah. They swapped quarterbacks.
They traded quarterbacks.
Fields was pretty good yesterday. Rodgers, four touchdowns, no picks. He tied Brady for the most career games with four touchdowns, no picks.
And he's now one touchdown pass behind Brett Favre to tie him for fourth most TD passes of all time.
I still feel like if I was a Steelers fan, I wouldn't feel great about the overall trajectory of where things are going. Rodgers was fine, but they almost lost to the Jets. They probably should have lost to the Jets yesterday. I wouldn't feel great about that.
Yeah, but they had a big fourth quarter, and Aaron Rodgers played well. Who knows if he'll do that at any point again this year, but he at least got the win there. All right, game of the week. Well, maybe has a good chance to hold up as game of the year. We'll see how things go. Sunday Night Football, Bills and Ravens.
Hey, what happened?
Came down to this.
32 yards.
Bills should not have won this game, and they did 41-40 thanks to that Prater field goal. The Ravens were in control of this game. Derrick Henry, 169 yards rushing, two touchdowns. Zay Flowers had 143 yards rushing and a touchdown. Lamar Jackson ran one in, obviously threw a couple, and they were up 40-25 with like 8 minutes to play in the game, and the Bills came storming back.
That's when I fell asleep for a little bit.
I'm good here.
I actually woke back up.
Yeah.
But Keon Coleman caught a deflected touchdown on fourth down. Bills couldn't get a two-point conversion. Derrick Henry fumbles. Bills get the ball back. They again can't get a two-point conversion, so they're down two. Harbaugh, who loses games like this routinely, decided to punt on a 4th-and-3 back to Josh Allen. Stupid. Bills win going away. Josh Allen, by the way, threw for 251, Keith.
Yeah.
In the fourth quarter. Just in the fourth quarter. He threw for 251 yards. He was on pace for a 1,000-yard game.
Crazy.
If you project that out.
Crazy.
So he was pretty good.
You know, a lot of times, remember when the Chiefs would play the Bills in the regular season, and you're like, oh, that feels like the AFC title game?
Yeah.
Like, that for sure feels like the AFC title game.
Yep. By the way, we all picked the Ravens to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
0-1.
Just like the Pats.
Yeah, good point.
So listen, they
good
can turn point. It around. They can turn That's it around. True. And also, they were seconds away from the AFC East all starting 0-1. And the Bills come back and get the win. So the Bills are alone in first place. Everybody else tied for second.
Good point.
Tied for second right now.
Huh.
All right, let's go to the AFC North, a Ohio matchup. Bengals-Browns.
90 seconds to play as he gets the snap. Flacco, juggled, intercepted!
DJ Turner off the deflection takes it away for Cincinnati and takes away the opportunity.
Joe Flacco and the Browns had an opportunity late, couldn't get it done. The Bengals, who have had their week one, really their first month woes over the last several seasons, they didn't look very good in this game. They had a disaster of a second half. They didn't even have any yards in the second half.
What was it? 4 yards?
I think they had 4 yards in the second half.
Oh, and they won. They're like the first team ever to get outgained by a certain number and this, that, and the other thing and still win the game. It was like they should not have won.
So look, what happened in that game? Me and Billy survived in the survivor pool with the Bengals.
Barely.
We told you to take them.
Yep.
And it wasn't pretty, but we're still alive.
Yep, that's true. All right, let's go to another AFC matchup. The Broncos and the Titans.
What happened?
They're in the red zone now. And a give to J.K. Dobbins. And he breaks a tackle and has a Denver touchdown.
Also not a thrilling game, but the Broncos did beat the Titans 20-12 at home. Bo Nix did not play well.
Bo Picks.
It was.
Bo Picks is back.
Bo Picks was back, at least for the game.
He's not a week one quarterback. I think I figured it out. He's not a week one guy.
Bo Picks may be back, but they also won again.
They did.
They won. They have a great defense.
And cover. They won.
They didn't. Cortland Sutton had a touchdown catch. R.J. Harvey had a 50-yard run. That was a pretty sweet play. J.K. Dobbins had that touchdown. Their defense is great. Cam Ward, the number one pick in the draft for the Tennessee Titans, went 12 of 28 for 112 yards. No touchdowns, picks, was sacked 6 times. That might be the best defense.
So that's what I was going to say. To open against that defense at Mile High, I actually thought, I watched a fair amount of that game, Bragg.
It was close.
I actually thought he looked okay. Yeah. Like, the numbers aren't good. I thought he looked
misleading
okay.
Numbers.
That's a good defense on the other side.
Oh, it's great defense on the other side. I had the Broncos and the Survivor, so I also advanced.
Still alive!
Thrilling.
Nice!
Last year was terrible at it, so at least I'm on to week two as well. All right, a battle of, I want to say, 1995 expansion teams. Jaguars-Panthers?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they sure were. Good starter jackets that year for both the Jags and the Panthers.
So legit.
Brian Thomas Jr. is in for a Jacksonville touchdown.
All right, Chris Myers. Sometimes, less is more on the call there. That was,
it's TV. That we can all see what's going on.
That's true. They handed him the ball, and he ran it in. Jaguars really blow out. This game was 20-3 at the half. They went on to a 26-10 win over the Carolina Panthers. Trevor Lawrence didn't have to do much. 178 yards passing and a touchdown. Travis Etienne ran for a 143. And Brian Thomas had that touchdown run.
I can't imagine ETN's on many waiver wires. That'd be a guy to go look for to go get. Liam Cohen, good start there with the offense. And Duval, bad start for my guy Dave Canales.
Sure was.
And my other guy Bryce Young. No, that's a quarterback that looked bad yesterday.
Tet McMillan's NFL debut, 5 catches, 68 yards for the Panthers.
That's fine.
That's okay.
My gripe with it, how many games we're going to have delayed this year?
This Lightning? It seems like more already. I hope it's not.
Seven, Joe.
It's not.
Let's play some football, guys. Between this and the Thursday night, can we play some football?
How many players do they have actually got electrocuted playing?
Seven!
If it's that high, then okay.
Yeah, if it's that high, we got something. But in the meantime, let's play some football.
Tell the fans to watch it in the concourse.
Thank you.
Get
the fans out of there.
Or sign a waiver. A waiver. You can't sue the city if you get electrocuted.
Yeah.
It'd be fine. All right, how about this one? This is a low-scoring game. Rams and Texans.
With under a minute to go in the half, trying to take the lead.
Fourth and goal. The pinch out, Williams. Getting a block. Cutting in. Pat, touchdown. They tied the game.
Yeah, that was early on. They would end up winning the game, that they being the Rams, 14-9. Matthew Stafford, 245 yards and a touchdown. Puka Nacua had 10 catches for 130 yards. And you just heard there Kyren Williams with a touchdown run. C.J. Stroud was terrible.
I mean, they looked bad. They looked bad.
He was 19 and 27, 188, had an interception, ran for 32 yards. Nick Chubb, because Joe Mixon's out at least 4 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Nick Chubb got the start, 13 carries, 60 yards. They didn't have a player have over 32 yards receiving.
Yeah.
That was rookie Jaden Higgins with 32.
Nico Collins did nothing. Going back to Puka on the other side.
Uh-huh.
He left with a concussion. Did you see bleeding out of his eye? Did you see that? Or at least over his eye? Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Came right back out and was dominant. So, I mean, he had an awesome performance yesterday. I didn't think And these are two what I would project to be good teams.
Yeah.
I didn't think either team looked particularly great, but the Rams get the win.
Devontae Adams made his L.A. Rams debut. He had four catches for 51 yards. Again, their offense didn't do much, but didn't have to either. All right, this one a lot of people, I think, had circled in the NFC North, the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions.
Hey, what happened?
Well, it was all Green Bay Packers.
Back to Jacobs. Back to extending the record. Now 9 consecutive games with a touchdown. Josh Jacobs.
All right, is this a one-off for the Detroit Lions, or is this going to be, man, we really miss both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn as they lose to the Packers 27-13. And this game was on in that 425 spot, so if you were watching this one, it really wasn't even this close.
No.
This was a dominant performance by the Green Bay Packers. Jordan Love, couple of touchdown passes, one to Jaden Reed, one to Tucker Kraft. You just heard the Josh Jacobs score, and Micah Parsons made his Green Bay Packers debut. He did have one sack.
Yeah, he played more than I would have thought. I thought Love, by the way, looked good. You know, again, I think stats can be 188 yards and two touchdowns.
No, but he was efficient.
But I thought he looked good.
Threw interceptions on back-to-back plays that got overturned.
Did he?
Anzalone dropped one, and then he threw a pick six to Brian Branch that got called back.
You know what? I saw that as well. So, actually, I had the volume off at that point in time, so that one got called back.
Yeah.
But when it came to the Lions yesterday, to answer your question about the Lions without Ben Johnson, and I saw Dan Campbell say something after the game to the effect of, we'll
doesn't
be fine.
Matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes,
no,
that would beat your ass.
No, I was like, easily correctable mistakes. Yeah. I'm like, oh, easy it is without Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I know.
But this was the fear all along. What's it going to look like without Ben Johnson? It looked atrocious yesterday. Jahmyr Gibbs, 10 catches.
Yeah.
31 yards. Like, talk about going nowhere and doing nothing with your opportunities.
Sonic and Knuckles. Yeah. Had 20 total carries and ran for 44 yards.
Yeah, advantage Robotnik yesterday.
Not
advantage Sonic and Knuckles. Yeah.
2.1 yards a carry for Detroit. Although I think Green Bay is really good. I think their defense, even before Parsons, was solid. And then now it's even better. Hmm. All right, NFC East matchup, Commanders and Giants.
What happened?
Well, our one-time Hoss of the Week nominee, Deebo Samuel, a little bit of a scoot.
Going to give it to Samuel. End around. Looking for blocks. Gets him. Samuel is in. Touchdown, Commanders.
Some laughing there, yes. By the
an homage to Chris Myers. I
suppose.
Think is what that was. Yeah.
Jane Daniels didn't have to do much. He threw for 233 yards and one touchdown. He also rushed for 68 yards. Deebo Samuel had the 19-yard touchdown run. He also was the team's leading receiver, 7 for 77. Not bad for Deebo Samuel.
I'm telling you. I like Deebo. He was Hoss of the Week for a reason.
Oh, no doubt.
He looked hefty.
How about Russell Wilson, good game Mr. Yesterday. Unlimited? Mm-hmm. How'd he do in his Giants debut? 17 of 37 for 168. He got sacked twice.
Yeah.
He fumbled, but he was able to fall on his own fumble.
I'll take Drake May over him.
Yeah.
They might go to Jackson Dart week two. There was reports yesterday before the game that
package for Dart.
A package of plays for Dart. He never got in there.
Dart package.
But Daboll wouldn't confirm to going back to Russell Wilson. You might as well go to Dart after that. By the way, more fantasy advice. Bill Kroski Merritt. Touchdown 82 yards. If he's out there and available, he probably isn't.
Did you say Bill?
Bill.
I thought it was Ja'Cory.
He goes by Bill.
Yeah, he's Bill.
He's Bill?
Yeah, he's Bill.
He dropped the Ja'Cory and switched it to Bill?
Yeah.
Ja'Cory famously is long for Bill.
So I picked it up. Ja'Cory Lanny.
Ja'Cory Lanny.
Little trade.
Oh,
nice.
Trade off. Oh, he traded names.
Good work.
That's a good trade.
Great trade for you, Bill.
It got approved in the league?
I like how that's going through. But yeah,
new license comes tomorrow.
I love it. So Bill Kroski Merritt.
Yep.
Not Bill Brashke.
No.
Bill Merritt Brashke.
No, go get him if he's out there. Yeah.
82 and a touchdown. Cam Scataboo, all the big Cam Scataboo fans. 2 carries minus 3 yards. So he owes the team yards.
Yeah.
He was not able to
didn't love that
positive yardage. All right, NFC West matchup, Jones. The Seahawks. Taking on the 49ers.
What
happened? First game is the OC here. Sends in a call for 2nd and 4. Darnold. Hit, is he going to go? The ball is loose. The 49ers have it. It's Bosa. Nick Bosa and the 49ers closing the door on the Seahawks.
There are 2 of them.
Nick Bosa.
Hey,
got it.
Yeah, it's not Joey. It's
who the hell is that?
Yeah.
Bosa. That was not a very pretty game. Final score 17-13. So in that final possession there, Sam Darnold and the Seahawks had an opportunity to maybe move down the field and win the game, but they do not. So the Niners improve to 1-0. Brock Purdy, 277 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 2 picks. Christian McCaffrey did play.
Played a lot.
22 carries, 69 yards.
Nice.
9 catches, 73 yards, but was held out of the end zone. On the other side, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who I did take in the Bozo parlay, which just missed.
Yeah, we were close.
9 catches, 124 yards on 13 targets. So he was very much involved.
No, you had an involved player for the Bozo touchdown parlay.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, we went 0-for-5 there, by the
way.
Shot the moon is what you called
it. Is that right?
So not a but notoriously week one.
Yeah.
The hardest, we don't have a lot of data to go on yet, Keith. We're kind of flying blind week one.
No feel at all.
No
so feel. Week two, though?
Week two, I feel a lot better about it. Yeah.
Zach Glass of Charbonnet scored a touchdown for the Seahawks. So you do have that going
for you.
All
right, Shime.
Yeah. What, you don't like that?
Hat tip to Shime.
That was a
live. That was a live.
Did he draft him?
Yeah, I think he took him in. That
just
was
so he could say that.
That's what he said about it. Yeah, when he drafted him. Yeah.
All right. My NFC South, actually my Super Bowl team from the NFC and yours as well, oddly enough. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers open up the season on the road at the Atlanta Falcons.
Hey, what happened?
They field on first down, throws, and so touchdown! Abuka with his second of the game.
Baker Mayfield threw 3 touchdown passes, 2 of them to Emeka Abuka, who had 4 catches, 67 yards. And those 2 scores, Michael Penix Jr., some call him Michael Penis Jr.,
some
298 yards, 1 touchdown. He also ran in a touchdown. So Penix had a good game, but the Bucs beat the Falcons in a very close competitive game, 23-20.
I didn't think Mayfield looked great. 3 touchdowns. Didn't think he looked great. Didn't think their offense looked great. Not feeling great about the Super Bowl prediction.
A win's a win. Mayfield Knicks just got wins.
Yep, that's true. Drake London hurt on the other side. I guess he's day-to-day with a shoulder injury, so monitor that. You should have seen Nick peacocking around with his Abuka pick
in
fantasy.
Yeah,
just peacocking around with the 2 touch. Like, you
I had a double check over here.
Yeah,
I thought he took him in the Bozo. I did a double check, and he did not.
Somebody took
scored.
Evans.
I was like, all right.
Somebody took Evans.
Yeah.
I forgot who it was.
Maybe Turb.
Yeah, maybe Turb.
All right, last game. We have the Cardinals and the Saints.
On second and goal, Murray. Left side. Pass completes. Marvin Harrison, touchdown, Cardinals.
Marvin Harrison Jr. starting out year 2 with a touchdown. Cardinals beat the Saints 20-13. Many consider the Saints the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah, I wouldn't say they did much to dissuade me from that. Although they made it interesting at the end of the game.
They did.
Olave, I was worried about Olave, how much he's going to hold up. But he's had a lot of concussions. He looked okay yesterday.
Yeah, he has for now. He had 13 targets. They were going after him quite a bit.
Peppering him.
The Rattler, though.
Not great.
No. Not great. Kyler Murray, 163 yards passing, 2 touchdown passes, also ran for 38. Marvin Harrison had the touchdown, but he also had 5 catches for 71 yards.
You see the throw Murray missed him on?
Yes.
That might have been a 99-yard touchdown he missed him on.
Yeah.
And we're pretty pro Kyler Murray, but that wasn't great.
And then, of course, lastly, tonight you do have the Vikings and the Bears in Chicago, where the Vikings are 1.5-point favorites.
Bears money line?
Yeah.
I feel better.
Well, I'm big on Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson this year.
I'm not
and
big
I'm a little
on
bit
Caleb
down
Williams,
on the Vikings.
Not big on Caleb Williams, but
Bears.
You got to be bigger on Ben Johnson after the way the Lions looked yesterday without him.
100%.
The Bears money line.
Yes. That's the bet.
And we're on a heater.
We're killing it.
I like the text line says, are we going to talk about your horrible Bozo picks? Not a single hit.
Yeah, don't worry about the Bozo
picks.
We
just said that.
But we did go, 5-for-5 on Survivor picks. So we're all on to week 2 in Survivor.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Turp and Nick had the Cardinals. We didn't say that when we went through.
Oh,
You had the Broncos. Me and Bill had the Bengals. We're all alive.
We're Survivor all cruising.
Pool. How about that?
We're all cruising. Nobody used the Eagles. We're good.
Way ahead of last year. So there you go. That's what happened week 1 in the NFL. We do it every Monday here on Jones and Keefe. It's brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We'll get back into your thoughts. And what'd you think of Steph Diggs, his debut? Did he play enough? Why didn't he play more? We'll do that next.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Individually, how do you think you played?
Decent. You know, it was my first game back. I was just happy to be back. You know, it's a lot of players out there. We got a lot of players, too. So doing my job is important to me, and, you know, I'm continuing to do that.
That was Steph Diggs. We'll get into his Patriots debut. Slow start, but it ended up looking okay. Could they have got him more involved? Should he have been more involved? We can get into that here on Jones and Keefe, Patriots Monday, 617-779-7937. That's your phone number. We'll get into all your thoughts coming up in just a little bit. A couple updates before we get specifically into Diggs.
Yes.
Number one, Jabril Peppers has tweeted.
Yeah, what's he up to? What'd he say?
Jabril Peppers says, crazy how life work.
True.
Prayer emojis.
That is true. It is crazy how life work.
Do you think that's a shot at the Pats? Do you think that's like a sign somebody's signing him?
Yeah, maybe.
That's a plea for somebody to please sign me?
Could be that. Oh, that's what the prayer hands are? Like, please sign me? Yeah, because he ain't exactly Lawyer Malloy. Cut, signed 5 days later, playing against the Patriots. He still don't have a job.
Or my guess is he has, like, a visit planned with, like, Buffalo. Or, like, a good team. You know, so it's, like, one of those type
of things. Crazy how life works. Yeah, I might have my first winning season ever.
Correct. Right.
Got it.
That's what I would think.
You don't think it's necessarily a shot at the Pats?
Well, both. It's both being like, hey, this seems like a mess, and I'm going somewhere good.
I asked that poorly. Not a shot at the way they played yesterday, but more like, hey, I got cut by a bad team. Now I'm going to a good team.
Yeah. Maybe.
That's a good read. Maybe
he didn't have the visit lined up yesterday, so he's like, I could pile on, but then also like, all right, joke's still on me. Like, I'm not in the league. But I'm sure was smiling when you see Hawkins giving up a touchdown and all that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Less so when Hawkins had the pick. Although that was really a Carlton Davis play. That was a great play by Carlton Davis. Mego tweeted this. Mike Vrabel is speaking for like the 10th time in the last couple of days. He spoke after the game yesterday. He was on Greg's show today.
Yep.
So we were doing What Happened. Vrabel spoke again. He was asked by Phil Perry about whether or not Drake May might have too much on his plate. Interesting.
Okay.
Vrabel said, quote, I think we have to evaluate that. We have to find out, is there something there? We have to figure out what our guys do best and then do that.
So this is funny because this is what Shine was screaming about all morning, is like, let Drake May do what he does well and maybe don't force everything that Josh McDaniels does. And maybe that's sort of what he's alluding to a little bit. Right? Like, isn't that a combination of not just Drake May, but also the offensive coordinator? Like, let's find out what he does well and sort of let him do that.
Isn't that what training camp's for?
I would think. They had a couple months to work on some of these things.
Yeah, preseason games, too.
Yeah.
Vrabel continued, if you do that, then you have to be really good, meaning put too much on the plate, as opposed to trying to scheme or get into the right situation. Just make sure we're giving him answers, but trying not to give him too much. Think that's always the balance that we'll try to find.
Yeah, but how long do you do training wheels for a quarterback?
I don't know. Top three pick quarterback. Well, and I also just think it's crazy how little they ran. It was a close game. It's crazy how little they ran in the second half. Now, they weren't running for anything.
Well, that's the problem.
They weren't picking anything up in the run game. But I thought, when I say it's crazy, I just didn't expect it. I thought Vrabel was going to run a ton, and they didn't.
I thought they'd be more successful. Ramondre Stevenson doesn't seem like a – I mean, that maybe just a bad game. Maybe he'll look a lot better this week against Miami. But, like, not explosive, not like breaking tackles.
No.
It seemed like a waste.
Henderson didn't look real explosive either.
He didn't either, but I'd rather have seen it.
No, me too.
I'd rather see more
of
Henderson.
It was his debut, and I'm with you on that. Yeah. Out of what we saw out of the two of them, I'd rather more Henderson going forward, but it's not like Henderson was breaking. I mean, he had a Jahmyr Gibbs game yesterday.
Yeah.
He had six catches for 27 yards or something like that.
Yeah, there was all
Gibbs
right
had
around
10
the line
for 31. Like,
they were getting brought down right
catching
away.
Catching the flat tackle. Not that there was much he could have done about it.
Maybe the Raiders are the best tackling team in the world.
Well,
they will find that out.
We are going to. It is only week one. We are going to find out. Meanwhile, you heard Steph Diggs there. I thought Diggs started real slow. There was one play down by the goal line. It was before the Pop Douglas touchdown where you like saw him at the bottom of the screen trying to get open. May missed Hollins or whoever it was in the end zone.
Yeah.
And
so that play right there.
You saw Diggs try to get open and you're like, ugh.
So that was the most frustrating play of the whole day, I think, because they specifically lined it up. I believe he was the only receiver on that side of the field. And you're like, oh, awesome. They're going to try to get a one-on-one with him. He's going to break somebody's ankles and then score like in the back of the end zone. He got locked down.
Could not.
Like,
get
it
away.
Was like a JV receiver getting called up to varsity going up against a corner for the first time. That like, no, that it's like physical. And you're like, oh my God. Like,
And then he like tried to do like a second move, which probably wasn't even like the route. And like Drake May looked over there and you're like, there's nothing there. Because that was unfortunate because it was a really slow start for him. He either wasn't out there a lot or they weren't giving him opportunities. And then you're like, all right, if he can get that touchdown, that changes everything. Because he had one awesome catch by the sideline, a catch that I really think he's the only one that makes on this team.
Probably.
How many not in the league, but how many times did guys last year have one foot out of bounds, both feet out of bounds? Like, they had no awareness. That's the thing about some of these elite older receivers. They're always in bounds. So that was a great catch. He had another one when they went to him. But as the game's unfolding, I'm like, you know what he might even be? And Jacoby Myers outplayed him, but that might be what he is. Like, would still take, like, he's going to be a 6-for-60 type of guy, but it's still useful. And if Kayshon Boutte ends up maybe, you know, being even better than that, you might have something. Like, the days of him being a true number one receiver are obviously over. I think everybody knew they were over. His over-under is 750 for the season. So, like, that's not anything crazy.
Diggs,
he's on pace.
Diggs, 6-for-57, 7 targets, long of 16, under 10 yards a catch, 9.5. So call it 6-for-60. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing week in and week out.
I'll take that.
I mean, that is a 1,000-yard receiver.
Yeah.
So, you know,
in the end zone a few times, and
it's not vintage Steph Diggs.
No.
But okay, 7 targets. He, and we tried to warn you about this going into the game. He was managed. He played the 4th most wide receiver snaps yesterday.
Yes. So is that a health thing or is that the offense thing?
Well,
because that
good question.
He should be out there more.
Boutte played 58. So much for Pop Douglas having a big year.
Dude.
My God.
Wow. He was invisible.
2-for-2. He did have a touchdown.
I mean, he scored the touchdown, but like
2-for-2 and a touchdown. I don't know if I've ever seen a line like that.
It's incredible. He had negative yards, but he had a touchdown.
Yep.
You're like, wait, what?
2-for-2, touchdown. He was targeted 7 times. That wasn't working.
They handed him the ball that one time.
Yep. 7!
Woof.
So I guess he was a positive 2 yards total in the game.
He had a pretty brutal drop early on, too.
Yep,
100%. That was like the first time they threw to him.
So Boutte, 58 snaps, 82%. Pop Douglas, 45 snaps, 63%. Mac Hollins, 40 snaps, 56%. Diggs, 29 snaps, targeted on 7 of them, 41%. So he was highly involved when he was out there.
Yeah, right. Well, doesn't that speak to Drake maybe? Like, I do have trust in the guy, so if you're going to put him out there, I'll throw to him. But you're just not putting him out there enough. And so maybe, you know, you'd have to go through and do an extra breakdown, I guess, and be like, how many times was Diggs out there when they were running it? And maybe you're like, it's just a waste to have him out there when he's running it. But even still, just like overall, I would think he should play more than Mac Hollins. And the way it was going for Pop Douglas, probably him too. Tom Curran might be onto it, though. Like, Kayshon Boutte is probably their best receiver.
Boutte looked great.
Yeah.
Good-looking Boutte
yesterday.
Always
does.
617-779-7937. Let's get to some phone calls here. A bunch of you waiting patiently. Tim and Nashua wants to talk specifically about Diggs and Hollins, the usage. Go ahead, Diggs. Go ahead, Tim, rather.
So, I'm not comfortable with Josh McDaniels at all. I think he's too, left, right, left, too vanilla. I was curious if you guys thought the whole arrangement of the receivers themselves, I thought you'd see featured receivers such as Williams deep, Boutte, you know, semi deep, and then work Pop in the middle and get him in rhythm and then get the running game. But the running game, I always thought they were going to gear towards like a fullback in Henderson featured sweeping outside. I saw none of that. It looked like they were just poor planned and had no clue.
Yeah, Tim, they didn't look ready to go. Like, to me, they did not look ready to go. They started super slow yesterday. They got a tip ball interception that helped turn the game around. They went into halftime. They started with the football. They, by the way, had a terrible possession before halftime when you could have done the old double score. They screwed that up. They let the Raiders miss a kick before halftime, so the Raiders almost evened the game at halftime. They came out. They threw a pick. They didn't have any second-half adjustments. They were poorly drilled when it came to penalties. They didn't look ready to go to start either half. Like, bad coaching. And that's not just Rabel. That's McDaniels as well. Our buddy Matt on Twitter, at Jones, WEEI, at Keefe21, did Rabel ever want McDaniels as his OC, or is this an arranged marriage? By the way, does Rabel even want Drake May?
Yeah.
This is his QB by default. Well, Well, I'm guessing he wanted May a little bit more since he chose the job, but he didn't. I don't think he wanted McDaniels.
I don't think he wanted him either. I don't know if we would have loved some of his other choices, though, like some of the other guys that were named. So I think Kraft was like, you're taking him. And I don't think Vrabel fought over it. I think he was like, all right, at least he's a real coordinator. Vrabel worked with a lot of different coordinators. So it's not like he had one guy. I think he had four in 6 years in Tennessee.
I think that's right.
But also, just going back to the McDaniels experience, I think where it really flashed to me was on the drive they actually scored the go-ahead field goal, they had third and one. And they pitched it like 5 yards back, and Ramondre barely got to the line of scrimmage. And you're like, okay, so now it's fourth and one. They're like, now let's hawk at 30 yards. And they got bailed out. It was not really a pass interference,
that's
I didn't
true.
Think. So that was almost a gift 3 points.
One play call I like, now that we're talking through it.
Oh, the fake tush push.
Fake tush push was a good play call.
To Henderson, right?
That was fun.
That was good.
But yeah, other than that, there wasn't much that stood out in a good way for Josh McDaniels yesterday. I didn't see it.
And you know what's funny? What made me think of this is my Keefspiracy.
Yeah.
Is somebody asked him in training camp, would they run the tush push? I wonder if it was a planted question.
Yeah.
Just so he could be like, yeah, maybe. Like, we're not opposed to it. And then they line up,
boom.
Nope, we're not doing that. Just kidding.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before.
Right. Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.